You're listening to Welcome House of Faith, the audio podcast about new learning. Well, hello, it's Scott again here at Vulcan as a Fade. I have a very special guest with me today, somebody that has inspired me ever since I saw her at TEDx Birmingham. We have Amy Bickers with us. How are you, Amy?
Hello, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Good. So let me tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. Amy is the author of The Geography of You and Me, which is a memoir, and Mr. Clooney Takes a Wife. Is that correct?
Yes.
She is an award-winning features writer and a former Southern Living associate editor. Her work has also appeared in HGTV Magazine and Coastal Living. Amy spoke about coping with trauma and grief at TEDx Birmingham 2016, and she blogs at, and let me take my time with this, it is vodkacranberryclooney.com. So you are a blogger.
Yes.
A routine blogger at that. Very good stuff. So tell us a little about yourself.
Well, I grew up in Shreveport, Louisiana, and worked at a newspaper there for about 7 or 8 years. Then I got the job with Southern Living and moved to Birmingham actually 13 years ago this month.
Wow.
But I've always been a writer and reader, and I graduated from LSUS with a degree in journalism, and still right now I blog, not as often as I would like to, because I do have a day job where I write for UAB.
Okay, the University of Alabama, Birmingham.
Yes.
So when you were going to school, did you see yourself doing what you do now?
No. When I first went to school, I majored in English, and everyone asked if I was going to be a teacher. And, you know, I was like, oh, no, I want to write. So then I thought, well, what can I do where I can get paid to write? And that's how I sort of moved towards newspapers. But I was always more of a features type person. I did hard news for a little bit, but I don't like to call people and ask them, you know, about a family member who's passed away. You know, there were a lot of things like that that weren't, I didn't really like. One of the great things when I worked at Southern Living was pretty much anyone you call, they're really excited to hear from you.
Absolutely.
So that, you know, that was a really good experience.
Yeah, news journalism is tough, I could imagine.
It is, and I think it's gotten tougher over time.
Yeah, and it's changed a lot, too, mm-hmm. Just the media content and all. So getting a little personal here, what are some of the things that you like to do here in Birmingham?
Oh, gosh. There's so much. There's really a lot going on. I've been thinking about it a lot lately because my boyfriend, Adam, and I, we've done so much over the past couple of years that I didn't even know existed before. But last weekend, we went to Sloss Fest, 2 full days of amazing music and, honestly, amazing people. The crowd was fantastic. And we've gone to Sidewalk Film Festival each year. We're going again this year, and it's one of my favorite things in Birmingham. I think it's such a good event. And we really, we plan out our weekend. We watch all the trailers. We pick the movies we want to watch. We still are discussing them, you know, a year later. So I really recommend those things. And then just in general, just on a good, you know, just hanging out. We like to go to Hot Box at Parkside. I think it's the best restaurant in Birmingham, and it's, you know, in an Airstream trailer. There's, you know, so much like that going on in Birmingham. And I think the residents of Birmingham are really supportive of each other. I like that.
That's one thing I wanted to bring up. You know, revitalization is not only about the people like yourself making a difference, but it's about people getting in to the events and like you and Adam were doing with being involved with it, to be into it. I could tell with Sloss Fest, the crowd was really into that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Great artists and everything. Did you have a favorite artist from them?
I loved Sylvan Esso. I don't know if you saw them, but the singer, I Want to Be Her When I Grow Up, she's amazing. Serotones, who are from Shreveport, where I'm from, they are so good. The lead singer, AJ Haynes, I think she is a star So I really hope that they hit it big because I think they deserve it.
I saw they're coming back to work playing.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll have to check it out.
Just saw that this morning.
Yeah. I introduced myself to a couple of the band members, and it was the kind of thing where I was like, oh, we're from the same town. Where'd you go to high school? And then I realized, you know, I'm 20 years older than them. So we didn't go at the same time.
So you're a writer.
Yes.
So what are you currently reading or into?
Right now, I'm reading a book called Girls on Fire, and it's a novel about two teenage girls, and I actually have a stack of books that I saved up for the summer because my plan was to read as much as possible over the summer, kind of give myself a break from my own writing and a break from social media and that kind of thing to just immerse myself in novels. So I had that. I just finished The Girls, which is about, it's based on the Manson family murders, but it's told from the perspective of a young girl who gets involved in that cult. And it was pretty good. So that's what I've been reading lately.
Do you get inspiration from other books, or do you find it for your writing, do you just deal with personal like experiences and things of that nature?
Oh, no, I definitely feel inspired by other writers. I love reading novels. I get inspired by the way people structure the story, how they decide to tell it. You know, I think sometimes people think you can just sit down and, you know, spill your story, but you really have to think about how you're going to tell it, what the structure of it is going to be. A lot of times when I'm stuck on my own writing, I'll pick up a book by someone else. And once I've read a little bit, I can feel my brain start working again and start thinking like a writer.
I see.
That helps.
Yeah. Those who know me know that you were like my favorite speaker at TEDx Birmingham. just because you opened up about experiences, do you want to share a little bit about first TEDx Birmingham, what it was like going through that process? And second, what was it like to tell your story and tell us a little about that?
Well, the TEDx experience was intense. It was months of preparation and writing the talk and trying to get it as, you know, tight as possible and then memorizing it. I know it looks like people are kind of getting up there and just talking off the cuff, but it's very memorized. Every day in the car on the way to work, I would record myself saying it. I would listen to it. On the way home, I would do it again. At lunch, I would say it. Actually, once TEDx was over, it was a relief not to have to think about the talk anymore. And being on stage itself was incredibly intense. It was a huge adrenaline rush. And I often joke about I felt like my head was on fire, but I seriously felt like my head was on fire. And I felt like everyone could tell, but it went fine.
But you probably didn't even want to hear your voice again for a couple of weeks.
Oh, my gosh, no. And it was hard to watch the video. Once the video was posted, no one likes to hear themselves talk.
Well, it was truly fantastic. You know, tell us a little bit about what you spoke about.
Well, I talked about the experience I had was actually 7 years ago in August. My ex-husband, who had been staying at my house for a couple of weeks, he committed suicide. And I witnessed the suicide. And he had been struggling with drug addiction and didn't have a place to stay at the time. It was, you know, it had been years of kind of building up to this. Experiencing that, obviously it's not something a lot of people experience. I think a lot of people have that experience with suicide, and that's something that people don't talk about a lot. And then just on top of that, I had the trauma of actually witnessing it and having to deal with the post-traumatic stress and what came with that. And what I found was that there wasn't a lot out there. I looked to books because that's what I look for. And I couldn't really find a book that spoke to my experience. I think in part because, especially as the spouse or the ex-spouse of someone in that, there's a lot of guilt and there's a lot of blame that can go around and people can feel a lot of shame. And I didn't want to feel that. I fought that. And I decided, well, if no one was really talking about it, then I would talk about it. And so the TEDx talk I did, what it came from that experience and from trying to figure out what was going to happen next, but how was I going to survive this? And, you know, you saw the talk. I mean, I sort of joked about it, but there was this thing where I was like, well, hey, if George Clooney could be my boyfriend, if Oprah will invite me to be in her book club, you know, if I could get these things the way we all think about, if I can just be successful at this and find love and have money, everything will be great. It's something we tell ourselves, but it's not at all true. Anything any of us have experienced, we then have to find a way to live with it. And no one huge, amazing thing is going to come along to fix it or erase it or change it.
Well, you know, it touched me on many levels. It, I'm sure, touched a lot of different people. You know, my day job deals with drug and alcohol testing. And, you know, we all deal with certain tragedies in our life. None of them are the same. I can't imagine what you went through. But sharing your story, how you dealt with it, was very powerful. And I mean, my personal opinion, if you can hear other people going through things and can make it through, it really gives you hope that you can make it through too.
Absolutely.
And you know, you mentioned the drug abuse side of things with him. A lot of people just don't realize that drugs change who you are. Mm-hmm. You're not yourself anymore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, your husband at the time probably went from being one person to another, right?
Yeah, I think especially in situations where it's a marriage and, you know, people will, they'll make a lot of judgments about things at the end. Why did you stay? Or why were you with this person? And it never starts out that way. And so all along, the person you love is there. And one thing with the experience with my ex-husband's name was Charles. The experience with Charles was that in my grief and dealing with the trauma, I tried very much to remember who he was as the person we loved. Because I knew that when he was using drugs, he really wasn't himself. I mean, people talk about somebody having demons. That's what it feels like. It feels like there's a demon in the room with you. And he just wasn't, it wasn't the person we knew and loved at the end. And I tried to remember that and hang on to that part of it.
You know, and after a tragedy happens or something that you dealt with, suicide can definitely come into play. I'm sure it was in his mind and all, but just the simple joys of life. You know, I follow you on all your stuff, and to see like kids, grandkids, sauce fest, even those simple pleasures really make life worth living. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There was a long amount of time, and I'll tell people that I was kind of in an emotional coma for a while, that it was a long recovery. And I watched 1,000 hours of Friends reruns and sat on my couch, you know, because you always know what Ross and Rachel are going to say to each other. There are no surprises and there's no trauma. And, you know, I was sort of tucked away for a while. And then definitely the past few years, and we talked a little bit about Adam and about Birmingham, but that's been part of that, this coming out of my house and seeing amazing things. And yes, also I have a grandson, and he's amazing, and, you know.
The cutest thing you would ever see.
Oh, yeah. It's a good reminder that, you know, life is full of beautiful things.
Well, tell us a little bit about your blog. It's called Vodka Cranberry Clooney.
Yes.
Okay, so where did the name come from, first of all?
Well, so I have a friend named Erin Street, and we worked together at Southern Living. She's now with Big Communications, but she had a blog called the Gold Shoe Blog, and she has, I don't know how many pairs of gold shoes. And she was always on me, you need to start a blog. And so on the day that I started it, I thought, well, how, you know, what can I call it? And I thought, well, okay, what do I like? Like how she likes gold shoes, what do I like? And I was like, oh, I like vodka cranberries and George Clooney. And that was it. I mean, it was not, it was just sort of this offhand joke, and I did it. But, you know, it was really fun, and I do, George Clooney was a big part of my recovery. It sounds so silly, but having a pretend boyfriend is necessary sometimes when you don't want real life. You can't deal with real life, but your pretend boyfriend, George Clooney, he will be there for you. He'll put on a tuxedo and it'll all be fine.
I love the name though. It's a very cool name. Yeah. So, well, what do you write about in your blog?
Oh, everything. The day I started it, I think about it now. The first post I wrote was about Kim Kardashian's marriage that lasted some number of days. I can't remember. And I just had something to say about it and, you know, wrote a blog post. And then from there, it just turned into anything and everything. I mean, I've written a lot about coping with trauma and suicide loss, but also I live blogged The Bachelor and made fun of, you know, people on the show. So it's a wide range of things.
It's very entertaining.
Thank you.
Okay, so today is July 23rd when we're recording this. So I want to ask you a very serious question.
Okay.
George Clooney or Idris Elba? Which one are you into today?
That you're asking me this because I have a new strategy for dealing with political news stories. And every time I get worked up, I just go and Google photos of Idris Elba. And I feel better. He is amazing. So I was thinking about, I feel like since George got married, you know, things kind of faded. I still love him. He's wonderful. But I have decided that every time I get upset about anything political, I'm going to post a photo of Idris Elba on Facebook. And there will be 1,000 photos.
Yeah, there was something. Did you post something about creating an app or something that every...
Yes, I think someone should create an app on your phone that replaces every... Any news story about a presidential candidate that I won't say, it would just replace that with a video or a picture of Idris Elba, and then you'll remember that the world isn't mostly terrible. It's mostly miraculously beautiful.
You know, I've got to say, I'm a big fan of his. He's a great actor. I don't see him quite the way you do, but I'm a fan of his work.
Yes.
So I can see the inspiration there. Okay, it's been such a pleasure to have you. You know, tell us how people can find you, like if they want to follow you, about your blog, how can they do that?
I have a website, amybickers.com. I have the blog, which is vodkacranberryclooney.com. And I'm on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. And I think that's at Amy R. Bickers. I can be reached through all of those things.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Follow us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Vulcan Has a Fade. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Facebook.